El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and so they don't. And if you don't believe us, just ask them. And you can join us right now online at philhendryshow.com. We have live streaming video of the show, our video cast, Phil TV in HD, where you can actually watch the show, and it's pretty weird. If there is a radio show that you want to watch on video, this is the one. The rest of them are a little on the, I think a little on the dull side to watch anyway. But I think we look pretty interesting. That's a kind word to put on it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And again, philhendryshow.com. We've got a date. Well, actually, I gave that date to my backstage pass holders. Do I want to give it to the folks that are listening right now? Well, okay, later on. I'm just buds in the other room giving you the high sign. Let's do it later on. We're going to bring on tonight some commentary for you on the debate this evening that was held in Jacksonville. I thought it was very interesting. And obviously you could see both Congressman Gingrich and you could see Governor Romney making some, you know, making some, trying to make a few connections there with their the body politic. And we'll see exactly who was the winner, at least in the minds of two of our guests this evening. One is a businessman from Buena Park, California. He is the chairman of Fraser Foods, which is a grocery chain throughout the Southwest and Southeast, Robert Green. We also have with us Larry Grover, who is a also a Republican, a conservative voter. He is works for a printing shop in Culver City, California. He's also the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. And Larry joins us from Culver City. Bob, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, thank you.
And Larry, how are you?
Well, I'm great, Phil. I'm interested to get into this discussion, this debate tonight.
Okay, let's start with you, Larry. I know that you are pretty much the Gingrich supporter, and I would ask Bob, do I call you Robert or Bob?
Bob's fine, Phil. Bob is fine.
All right, you're a Romney supporter, right?
I tend to think that Mitt Romney is the answer for the Republican Party. Yes, I am.
Okay. I want to start with the Gingrich side of things here. And you gentlemen can engage each other at some point, but I do want to control the dialogue a little bit here at the beginning and find out how you guys feel about your candidate. But starting with you, Larry, how do you think Newt Gingrich did?
Well, this might be a little unusual for, you know, somebody who supports a candidate the way that I do, and I've always been a very big Newt Gingrich fan, but I feel like I need to be honest, and I'm saying this for the Gingrich campaign as well as for those of us who are Gingrich supporters. I don't think he did well tonight. As a matter of fact, I think he hurt himself, and it could have been a fatal mistake, and when he got into this discussion, however bizarre, about a moon base.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry?
I was just agreeing with you, sir.
Well,
why don't we just go ahead, Bob, let Larry...
I apologize.
And the discussion of the moon base was unfortunate. And the reason why it was unfortunate is because, first of all, I think it made the congressman, the speaker, look a little disconnected from the economic reality of America these days, what Americans are up against. The last thing we need is a moon base, and the last thing we need are the expenditures, as even Romney pointed out, of hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars for a moon base. I feel that that was a mistake because Romney was able to seize on it, and I don't think he mocked Speaker Gingrich, but I think he had the audience clearly on his side when he said that it was just not a feasible idea. And when they went back to Speaker Gingrich and he was talking about the idea of a moon base, the point was made by, I guess it was Governor Romney again, that this was a idea he got when he was speaking to Space Coast workers.
Right. Now, when I heard Governor Romney say that, was that as something he brought up just to throw something at these Space Coast workers for them to, when we say Space Coast folks, we're talking about that Central Florida coast there.
Yeah, it's where the Cape is.
Right. And
well, I think he was. I think as Governor Romney pointed out, you know, I hate to have to quote the candidate of my opponent in the debate tonight, supports, but it's unfortunately, Romney said, and he was right, that Gingrich brought that up because he was in front of Space Coast workers, so he wanted to have something to say to them that would get them excited about his candidacy, that he was in favor of some far-reaching space mission, and that would include a moon base. Unfortunately, it came off sounding, kind of a kooky.
Kind of a goofy idea.
Kind of a goofy idea. And when I heard it, I shook my head. I was watching it with mother, and I said, "This is probably the end here, because he had to really make himself sound like he was in charge, factually, with the vision, with the numbers." That he knew what his strengths were over his opponent, and man,
didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
All right, Bob. That kind of leaves it open for Romney there. At least it sounds like what Larry was saying is that Gingrich opened the door and really didn't do much to keep Romney from charging right on through.
Well, Phil, I think it takes an honest person to admit when their candidate has done, the kind of damage I think that Gingrich did to himself tonight. So I appreciate Mr. Grover's point of view. I can't disagree with anything he's saying. Governor Romney, I think, was right on top of the facts tonight. I think Governor Romney, as a matter of fact, made Newt Gingrich looked bad, not just in the discussion of the space mission to the moon, but I think he made Speaker Gingrich look bad when he was talking about Freddie Mac.
Yeah, that was another one.
Right. So when Freddie Mac brought up that Mitt Romney was, quote, a stockholder in Freddie Mac, when Gingrich brought this up, and I think it was Gingrich's intent to sort of turn the tables on Romney, Romney turned it right back around on him and said, first of all, I don't own stock. I have bonds and mutual funds, and you do too, Mr. Speaker, in Freddie Mac, for which Gingrich did not have any real answer. So I can't disagree with what Mr. Grover, I can't disagree with you at all. And I'm sorry, I forgot your name because I agree with you so much. I think what's happened here tonight is that Speaker Gingrich has become so irrelevant because of his missteps that his supporters become irrelevant. And for a moment, I had forgotten the very name of the man that I'm debating tonight. So I think I apologize to you, sir. But that is the damage that Gingrich has done.
All right, Robert Green is with us along with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, and we are talking about the debate tonight between four principals in the Republican nomination race, Rick Santorum and Ron Paul, but of course the two frontrunners, Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney. Larry, do you want to comment on what, specifically to what Bob said about the insignificance?
Well, I can't disagree with him. Gingrich is... I don't think he's going to be insignificant, but he makes those of us who support him. If this gentleman can't remember my name, then that shows you. And what Gingrich did tonight was be so ineffective in that debate that I've got to go on these radio shows now and basically say that I've got a bad candidate. I supported a bad candidate. I got to sit here and listen to this gentleman and a lot of other people talk about Romney, and there's nothing I can do about it. Now, if this was a prize fight, they would stop it. But it's not. I will be forced this evening and tomorrow as I do these radio shows to take endless abuse and take endless shots because Gingrich came on tonight and talked about a moon base and didn't talk like an adult. And that is It's very difficult to take.
Phil, I just want to jump in.
Go ahead, Bob.
I understand what this gentleman's saying. It's like I've won the debate even before it started.
You have.
Yeah, no, I understand that. It's like I've won the debate before it started because Gingrich wanted to hang his hat on a moon mission. It is unconscionable that a candidate for president of the United States would, at the 11th hour, throw into this race this bright idea of putting a colony of people on the moon. He has made a joke out of his candidacy. He's made a joke out of this poor gentleman I'm talking to tonight.
Do you feel that way, Larry?
Yes, I do. I feel as if he has made me into a clown.
And he's made a joke out of this gentleman tonight. And what is more, Phil, he'll never be taken seriously as a candidate for the highest office in the land again.
All right, well, we're talking here with Robert Green and Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. And the two of them are debating the debate. They are talking about the performance of their candidates. Mr. Grover is a supporter of Newt Gingrich, and Robert Green is a supporter of Mitt Romney. And you can hear Larry Grover say Newt Gingrich lost it right out of the gate when he started talking about moon missions, and Bob Green concurs. So what we have here is not so much a debate. We've got one of the candidate's supporters throwing flowers into the grave, it sounds like. What do you think? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. As we continue discussing the Republican debate tonight in Jacksonville and the possible end to the Newt Gingrich campaign. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I don't think we get a little left of him.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-7445. We're doing a usual post-mortem on the debate tonight in Jacksonville. It really was the Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney show, as it has been. With me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods, a Mitt Romney supporter. And Bob, I'd have to say that you're a businessman. Do you think it breaks down in the Republican Party when you talk about these two candidates? Are we talking about blue collar for Newt Gingrich and the white collar business people for Mitt Romney?
I think so, Phil. I can look at the people who work for me. I will talk to them. A lot of them are Democrats, which is a difficult thing for me to have to listen to, but nonetheless, a lot of them are. But the ones that are Republicans are Gingrich people, and I'm talking about our guys that work the stock room, our truck drivers, and so forth. When you get up the ladder to the management people who've had some business experience, who have understand how the world works a little bit, you will find more and more that we are Mitt Romney fans. But the lower down the ladder you go and the further down, for instance, the educational, when you look at the aptitude of people in terms of education, when you look at their earning power, when you look at their overall ability to comprehend issues, and you go lower and lower and lower, and that's where you're going to find the Newt Gingrich people. So, and which is not to criticize, you know.
Well, it does sound a little like the Newt Gingrich people are not as intelligent.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the Newt Gingrich people are not. They don't tend to be people that are high achievers, and that's why I think Mitt Romney is a good example. Not just for those of us who succeed in business, but also those of us who want to succeed.
Larry?
Well, there's not a lot that he said there that I disagree with, and that's been the very difficult part of this evening, Phil. I turn on this debate, and I want to see my man do well, which is, Newt Gingrich. And he not only doesn't do well, he brings up the moon base. He gets it wrong about Freddie Mac. And I am forced to look in a mirror and see exactly what it was that Mr. Green was talking about here, that I am a blue-collar worker.
What, now, what do you do exactly, sir?
I work for a print shop.
What do you mean you work for a print shop?
I work for a printing shop. I handle printing jobs for a print shop at Culver City.
Okay.
And so at one time I did have a much higher paying job, but I don't anymore. I have told you and I've told your audience that I am living with my mother and I am having to stay out on a porch. I don't even have my own room. When you put that together with the fact that I support Newt Gingrich, and then he came out tonight and made his moon base pitch, yes, it does look as if I am not only undereducated and not earning very well, but that I'm not very bright.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that, you know.
He isn't saying that he's not saying that Newt Gingrich supporters are not intelligent.
You said that we were what?
No, I'm saying that I'm not saying you're not intelligent. I'm saying you're undereducated. I think there's a lot of things you need to learn about the world.
I'm 42 years old, and I think that's old enough to know about the world.
You're absolutely right. But when it comes to politics, there's a lot that people have to learn. And politically, Phil, I would say that if you were to compare me and Larry, and I think Larry is a hardworking guy, and like I said, this is not about his intelligence, but the political age of a man like this is probably somewhere around 9 or 10 years old, and I'm an adult. And what do I mean by that? I mean that I make adult decisions when it comes to politics, but this guy is making...
Go ahead.
If you would not refer to me as this guy...
I apologize, sir, but you know, Larry is making decisions like he's 10 or 11.
Well, that, you know, and what you're saying there is that is a political age.
That's a political age.
What do you think of that, Larry?
Well, what do I think? I think that it's hard not to be insulted by that.
I'm not trying to insult you, sir.
No, I know that. It's hard not to be insulted by it, but by the same token, you know, I can't disagree with it. I have tried my best to make the right decisions politically in my life, and I always come up voting for the wrong guy.
Who did you support in the 2008 elections?
I was a Huckabee fan.
Oh boy, yeah, you got that wrong.
Yeah, I was a Huckabee fan, and then for a while I was for Sarah Palin. And these are not good decisions. When I went with Newt Gingrich, I felt that I had an experienced politician.
He's a Washington insider, and when he came out with and I'd like to refocus on the moon base thing, Phil.
Go ahead.
Newt Gingrich, when he brought up the moon base, I think tipped his hand at just how in touch with reality he's not to say that he wants to land on the moon. And now you have a gentleman here, Larry Grover, who was a supporter of his, and even he's embarrassed by it. So I think what Gingrich did tonight, I think he threw his supporters to the dogs.
I can't disagree.
And I think he's going to have to make a comeback somehow.
Well, all right. The moon base idea.
See, for me, the moon base idea is one of those killers that people will never forget.
Yeah, it's tantamount to, and I'm a Newt Gingrich fan, it's tantamount to like when Ford said, I don't think the polls consider themselves dominated by the communists, you know, that kind of thing.
All right, gentlemen, hang on the line here. I want to get some phone calls here before we are done with this discussion of the debate tonight. We have on the line Larry Grover and Bob Green as they talk about this debate between the four candidates, which, of course, was Santorum and Paul and Gingrich and Romney. But everybody is looking at Gingrich and Romney because those are the two contenders. Tonight we have Larry Grover, who is a supporter of Newt Gingrich, but feels that he fatally wounded his campaign tonight by talking about a moon base, going to the moon, colonizing the moon, etc. And we have with us also Bob Green, who is discussing Mitt Romney's campaign, a guy that he supports and who he feels is the most viable candidate for the job. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll take some phone calls. We'll get back here with Bob Green and Larry Grover tonight on the debate and who won. And it sounds like both of these guys are saying Romney did, one of them being a Gingrich supporter. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. As we talk about the debate tonight, Larry Grover has joined us along with Robert Greene, Gingrich, and Romney. And what are your feelings, guys, about Gingrich, Romney, and their accessibility to the average voter? I'll start with you, Bob.
Well, I think that presidential debates are difficult for most people to understand. Most voters, especially Republican voters, and I understand this, they want to get to the general election. When you talk about Gingrich, I think he has afforded people the opportunity tonight to concentrate more on Romney because that moon base comment really screwed him. And you've got a Gingrich supporter here who agrees with me.
Larry, let me ask you something. Does this clear the field for Romney?
I think so.
You think it does?
I think it does because, you know, it's a pop culture we live in. And the pop culture that we live in, people grab a hold of these headlines and they hug them for dear life. And when a very intelligent guy like Newt Gingrich says, let's go to the moon and colonize it, you've got a problem because now he is seen as a weird ass, excuse my language, and the average man, while he wants to vote for a guy like Gingrich, I truly believe, doesn't want to embarrass himself by putting some guy in there who believes in moon bases. And this is the point, Phil, where I think guys like me take over. And by that I mean business people are able to tell the rank and file, all right, you fooled around long enough, here's the guy, Romney.
Do you feel now that you're going to vote for Romney, Larry?
I got no choice. I either do that, or we got Obama for another 4 years.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. Here is this Gloria or Kim? I forget your name, ma'am.
It's
on line one. Hello, it's Gloria. Go ahead, Gloria.
Yes,
yeah,
good
go
evening.
Ahead.
Well,
good evening.
I was going to make a comment to Larry because, to me, he's over-focusing on Newt's comment about a moon base. To me, it would be like, I think he said in during his second term, if he were elected president. And I just look at a comment like that as no different than perhaps Obama, in his more of a socialistic Western Europe bent, looking for nirvana in his eyes of what we do with our energy and that we don't develop it here. I mean, he says one thing and does another. And I think that a comment like that coming from Newt Gingrich, he is a man of many ideas. And I do not see it is over the top kind of a negative.
I got to interrupt the lady. You just basically said that Gingrich is as flaky as Obama. When you say that Obama comes out with some pie, and then Gingrich comes out. There's no way we can afford a moon base.
Well,
not even a second term or a third term. There's no way. So you make Gingrich sound like he's a flake.
No.
Well, isn't that what you're saying, though, Larry?
I'm saying he can't get elected. I'm stopping short of saying the guy's flaky.
Go ahead, Gloria.
Well, I don't. You know, Obama has been in there for over 3 years, and I think that a comment made by Newt Gingrich. Speaker Gingrich is, it's probably a wish list, perhaps, when he's talking to the people in Florida who have lost their jobs with NASA. So a comment, I mean, we have seen Obama in action on these two a year ago and then this one. So many people have commented how his dialogue has been the same from one
The lady's still talking. Go ahead, ma'am.
Well,
I wanted to sound like she was maybe getting stumbly about
She's doing fine. Go ahead.
The comments that Obama made in his speech are so much like the ones.
Excuse me for a minute, Gloria. Bob, don't let me interrupt the lady.
Well, she didn't sound like she knew what she wanted to say.
She's doing fine. Go on, Gloria.
And Mr. Green,
I agree with Larry. You're comparing him to Obama. Why are you doing that to your candidate?
Well,
You're making him sound like a flake case.
I'm just saying that Newt Gingrich can. I look at Obama has had 3 years to actually do stuff, and Gingrich is just having a dialogue with these people. You're making a mountain out of a molehill.
Well, no, but you see, when he goes in front of those space workers and he makes promises he can't keep, what do you think's going to happen when they come to him in 3 years or second term, whatever you said, and they say, "How about our moon base now?" And you know he can't do it.
Well,
he can't
do
it. He knows he can't do it. He knows he's lying.
Wait a minute.
I don't look.
You're a You're a Republican, Bob. Why would you call him a liar?
Look, I'm a Gingrich supporter, and I say he's a liar, and that hurts for me to do that.
Go ahead, Gloria.
Well, I don't look at him as a liar. I think the man.
He's a bald-faced liar. He's a bald-faced liar.
With whom he's made me
look like an ass. I'm Larry Grover. I've been a Gingrich supporter since day one, and I have been a laughingstock in front of everyone because people are saying, "Oh, hey, how you doing, Moon Boy?"
They're not tonight.
Yes.
Well, what can I say about your friends? I have friends, and they're not saying that to me.
Are any of your friends making fun of you, ma'am? Are they laughing at you, or are they?
No. No, we.
Well, let me be the first.
That's real.
Well, we have to agree to disagree. And
I can tell you that, Gloria, I agree with. I think Newt Gingrich is, but he has what he's done is basically, there was a term when we were kids growing up. I don't know if you remember it. Giving somebody the BA. You know what that was? That was when you pulled your pants down. Okay, big deal. But unfortunately tonight, Newt Gingrich had just BA'd the American, basically Republican voters like me.
Well,
that's like saying he did it on purpose.
Well, when you go up in front of space workers and say, "Oh, here's something for you. Let's go to the moon and build a colony." Yeah. Come on.
Well, I look at it as a wish list. Right. We all have wish lists in our life. Sometimes they come true, sometimes they
don't. And sometimes they don't. Gloria, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876 Phil is the number here as we discuss the campaign. I think that what you're talking about here, Larry, it's getting a little over the top when you say that Gingrich is doing this on purpose.
Well, I don't think I said that.
When you say he's BA-ing everybody.
Yeah, to me, a BA is intentional. Well, well, you can say that. What I'm saying is what he did was rude. That's what I'm saying. Rude. It's rude to say here is a moon base that we're never going to build. Whether the BA is intentional or not, it may be that he just thought it was an opportune moment to pull his pants down. And I know we're not talking literally about that.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous comparison, I think.
Well, no, it's not. I don't think so, because what it is an insult. Whether or not it was whether or not it was on purpose, or whether or not it was something that it was an improvised move, and he just simply wanted to do it, I don't know. Well, the idea of a BA is that...
Let's get off the whole BA thing, all right?
Well, no, but he brought it up, and I think either it's intentional or it isn't. Well,
What are you guys debating now?
Whether a BA is intentional or not.
You have to assume that it is.
It's intentional. But is it was it pre-planned, was it premeditated, or was it an opportune moment for him to yank his pants down?
Okay, well, I think it's a crude comparison.
We're talking about embarrassing people.
All right, maybe you could have come up with something else, but if you're saying that that Gingrich was insulting you, his supporter, his blue collar supporter, if he's insulting you, then either he's doing it on purpose, or it's because he made a mistake.
Exactly.
Okay, if you believe that. Then saying that he BA'd you in, figurative terms, it means it was on purpose.
Yeah, that's my point, Phil. And I think that wasn't your point at all. Your point was that he did it on purpose, No. I said that Gingrich did it as a stunt.
Look, let's not talk about that anymore, okay?
Well, either he did it on purpose, or he did it because why?
I can't think of another reason. If you're telling me he's trying to embarrass you, his baseline voter, his base of support, I should say, if that's what you're saying, then there's no other possible explanation. He did it on purpose.
So he pulled his pants down and showed his bare ass.
Why don't we watch the language, number one, and forget about whether that is the appropriate comparison. I don't think it is.
Well, if it is, then it shows hatred on the part of Gingrich for his voters and his supporters.
I can't, well, talking about a moon, let's go to the moon. And again, what else do you call yanking your pants down? B.A.? Or...
Okay, thank you, and hold on. 877-87-MOONING to finish your thought. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with Larry Grover and with Robert Greene as we post-mortem this debate. Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney. And is this the end for Gingrich? Is this the bitter end, bringing up a moon base and trillions of dollars that it would cost to build a moon base in the middle of an economic downturn that we're trying to recover from? World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
That's what I said. No, you didn't. Mr. Hendry said it.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, we'll get into that if you want to. We're talking to Larry Grover and to Robert Greene about the debate that has just ended there in Jacksonville. Now, you guys are talking about what happened today in Arizona?
Yeah, Phil, there was an exchange between Obama and the Arizona governor, Jan Brewer, and the what happened was is that Jan Brewer was very animate, and she was talking in a very animate fashion to the president, and apparently she was waving her finger, or putting her finger in the president's face. I didn't have a problem with that. I thought that she was trying to make a point about immigration, and Obama was standing there looking at her like she was some... I don't think he gave her respect. I see it differently.
All right. Well, this is a very interesting conversation we're having here tonight because, on the one hand, you know, Larry, you're a Gingrich supporter. On the other hand, you can't bring yourself to support the guy. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Kevin. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover and Bob Greene. Go ahead.
Yes. I think they both of them have overlooked the lies that both of them, both Gingrich and Romney, both exposed on each other. I mean, there was the lying about the taxes. There was the lying about his affiliate, not mixed, but Newt's affiliation.
Romney didn't lie. Romney tells the truth. You're talking about Gingrich, right?
No, I'm talking about both of them. Romney acts like he doesn't know how much money he makes. He doesn't act like he doesn't know anything about anything. He's flip-flopped about abortion. He's so passionate. He was so passionate in the debate against Kennedy about abortion because one of his relatives died and his mother ran for Senate and she was supporting the right to make a choice. And he said his whole family felt that women should have that right since he had a relative that was dying from an illegal abortion.
Well, let me talk to the gentleman, if I could, Kevin. This is Larry. You know, I don't disagree with you that Gingrich. See, my point is this: that Gingrich, by coming out in support of a moon landing and colonization, has made him look as if he belongs in a rubber room.
Well,
so when you say he's a liar,
they proved he wasn't a conservative because all the billions of dollars that it would take to do that in the wake of
that's
economy,
a good point. Yeah,
he's not trying to be a conservative, and according to most of the
that's a very good point.
That he's the most conservative person up there, and that proved different already. So, and if you're listening,
and I wanted to, this is Bob Greene, Kevin. Let me just mention this to you. because I support Romney, but I will say this. When you're that wealthy, and Romney is wealthy, there's no question, I don't know if it's possible to know how much money you've got. You know?
Think about it.
Every day you're making more and more and more.
Compared to what this nation owes.
And the moon landing.
He seems to be quite knowledgeable about how much this country owes, how deep our deficit is. But he won't know how many billions. I mean, what he is personally as a billionaire or a millionaire, whichever one it is, it doesn't even compare to how much we owe. And if he can't get a grant for what he owes, then how can he?
He doesn't owe it. He has it. That's his money. And when you're that wealthy, you get to a point where you can't even know how much you've got because it's exhausting.
What do you mean it's exhausting?
He doesn't even know how much taxes he pays. And he's a liar.
Yeah, well, no. They said he paid at a 13% rate.
Well, but here's the thing, Kevin. You make some good points about Romney, but Gingrich, I can't even support him. I'm a conservative, okay? And I know I'm talking, you're probably a Democrat, but I can't even support Gingrich now. Because now you've told me he's also a liar on top of a guy that belongs in a psychiatric hospital.
I mean, you're living at home with your mama on the front porch, and you support one who only wants to give tax breaks to the wealthy. It doesn't even make sense.
I live on a porch. I sleep on a cot, and I've got hardly any money. And why I'm supporting Gingrich?
I own my own business. I have two homes. I can't possibly see. My wife and I, we are middle class. And
are you a Democrat, sir, or are you a Republican?
No, I'm no Republican.
Well, why wouldn't you? If you own your own home, you ought to be a Republican.
Well, let the man finish.
You're right. I mean, I live on a porch. I have nothing. My mother tells me, I'm 43 years old, and my mother tells me what to do, to take garbage out. And I'm supporting Gingrich. I don't know why. And now he wants to go to the moon. Why?
Anyway, Kevin, thank you for your call, sir. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL.
You laugh, Phil, but I said this to you the other night. I said that Gingrich had to pull the fat out of the fire. He did. And then he turns around and he says, let's put a base on the moon. Are you listening to him?
Well, I am, yeah.
And I am too, Phil and Larry. And I think the only guy that wasn't listening to him was you until tonight. Well, it's making me rethink. And just as this man said, I live with my mother. I'm not ashamed to say this. And you were on the program the other night saying that you have a difficult social life. Yes, I do, because I live with my mother. I sleep on a cot. I have to borrow her car. I walk. Most of the dates I go out on with women, we take either the bus or we walk. And we had to walk probably about 4 miles to go to the movies the other night, because that's the closest movie house.
Why don't you get a cab?
It costs money. So today, I saw Jan Brewer waving her finger in the face of the president, and that's when I said, that's got to stop. As conservatives, we've got to stop that. I was half waiting for Obama to slap her right across the face.
Well, that would have been a mistake.
No, I don't think it would have been a mistake, because if we as conservatives want to get the respect of the American people, we're going to have to start to act like we deserve respect. And Jan Brewer, I know, is loved by the people of Arizona, but here again, I got Gingrich, who gave me a slap to one side of my face, and Jan Brewer just slapped the other side of my face. Why can't I want her to get slapped in the face?
What are you referring to?
He's talking about the thing on the runway.
Are you're talking about that, Larry?
Yeah. With she was standing there talking to Obama.
Okay, people don't know what you're talking about. The two of them were out on a runway. Was it Arizona?
I think so, yeah.
All right. He was talking with Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona, and apparently she had written this book, Breakfast with Scorpions, or whatever the hell it's called, and there were some things in there that I guess the president took exception to. But what are you saying? Because they had an argument?
No, I don't care if they have an argument.
She was waving her finger in his face.
Okay, so you're talking about the propriety of this woman, the governor of Arizona, waving her finger in the president's face.
Yes. Well, Phil, I didn't see anything wrong with that because she was angry about the president.
Well, the president was taking issue with things in her book, and I guess she was getting upset that he was getting upset. We'll be back. World Famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with Larry Grover and Bob Green concerning tonight's debate, as well as now this conversation out on the runway today in Arizona between the president and Jan Brewer and the finger-waving of Jan Brewer and what was said and what wasn't said. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, the World Famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.